Ooh.
Oh, wow.
Ooh. Funky new beat.
This is a new beat. I know you can't see my knees, but I got a little knee popper going. I'm liking this.
Yeah, this is killer. Good Such work. Mood.
Producer Josh throwing a little curveball on the intro music.
Nice, buddy.
I like it. Ladies and gentlemen, all together, you are listening to
MLO.
I'm your host, Addy Ned, and welcome to the show, and thanks for tuning into the podcast today, guys. We've got a good subject, don't we, Casey?
Oh, yeah, it's a good one.
It's kind of one of those things that, you know, not people want to talk about.
They don't, but they need to hear it.
Yeah, we're going to roll through it. What documents do you need to apply for a mortgage? So we got three quadrants, Christian. I'm trying to time that with the ending of the music. Didn't quite get it there. But we've distilled this down into three segments of the show. You've got your basic, your self-employed, and then unique situations, right?
100%. So I'm going to take on the self-employed. I know that Casey has some topics, and then we got a great person in the studio today.
Great guest. We got a guest.
Somehow we've pulled out the beloved Scott Kurahara. Please introduce yourself, Scott.
Yeah.
I'm Scott Kurahara. I'm the operations manager here. I actually came today without my hat that everybody
I know
loved
everyone
last
loved
time.
That hat yeah. he wore.
Lots of combos on that hat.
It's a great hat. But yeah, I'm here. I help everybody, all the processors here, with collecting documentation. And I, you know, on some of that stuff, I'm the I get the end say on it. So
the Wizard of Oz, I kind of call him
Wizard of Oz. I was thinking like captain of the operation ship.
I like that.
Captain. I like both of them. I'll take either.
El Capitan.
Scott's a huge asset to our team here at MLO, guys, and having him today is a pleasure of ours, especially I think you're going to put some nice bumpers on our bowling lane for the subject, so I'll keep
you in check.
Get as many strikes as we possibly can, but going to the subject at hand, guys, what documentation do we need to apply for a mortgage? And really, we wanted to roll through this because there has been a lot of changes depending on a few different factors. When was the last time you actually bought a home, refinanced? It could be prior to a ton of changes that happened in the industry around 2008, 2009, right, Casey?
Absolutely. I mean, if you haven't bought a home in 20 years, things have changed.
They have changed dramatically. No more stated income.
Yeah, guys, we wanted to come out. We wanted to come out and tell you stated income was back and it's all good. But that is a joke. That's not coming back. And we're going to talk about why you have to and collect documents and what documents you may need to give us.
And before we go into those three subjects we were talking before, I think it's important to understand that there's a little bit of a tug and pull on what defines, say, the application process, the pre-qualification process, and getting pre-approved. So if you haven't had the opportunity to listen to our episode, Casey.
That's episode number 12, guys. And that is the, episode 12. And that's the difference from a pre-qual and a pre-approval.
Yeah, and one of the frustrating things, Casey, is different lenders are going to define that process differently. There's not really a uniformed definition. So one thing to know, though, we're in a hot market, right?
Very hot.
We want all of our clients and applicants to have a very strong application and file because our approach at MLO is to call these selling agents on your behalf, working with the buyer's agents, to introduce ourselves to the team and really to attest to the quality of the file, how much proactive documentation has been provided. Right. So we want to go through these to strengthen your offer as a whole and a team. But do note that they're not necessarily required to get through the basics of pre-qualifying.
Yeah. So we're going to give you a list, but we're not telling you anything's required.
Yeah. And, you know, we got to compliantly say,
absolutely,
like, you know, subject to loan approval, subject to the program you use, the lender you're using, everyone, there's an infinite amount of situations.
Absolutely.
So we have to be fully open about that. But let's go in, Casey, just to the basics, those one, two, three. So hit me with, I just applied with you, right? And what are the things I'm going to provide in order to at least get the basics of documentation?
For sure. The first thing you're going to provide is the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth on that application. No, but the thing is, you guys, you want to fill out your application to the best of your knowledge that you can. So you want to give us, you know, there's certain things that we kind of call like we call it the twos in our industry, because what we want to see on an application, we want to see a minimum of a 2-year work history. And that's a full 2 years, guys. So if there was a change of jobs and you want to make sure you note all of that, we also want to see 2 years of living residency. So where your addresses were, if you moved and that kind of stuff. And then, so that's kind of, we get into this two factor, a 2-year requirement for, you know, living and work is something you're going to see on your application. So you just want to make sure you're filling out all that information to the best of your knowledge, especially, you know, even with your, you know, asset information and stuff like that, you're filling out. So your application, just from start to bottom, even spelling your name right and putting the right birth date and social security numbers, stuff all like that.
All that stuff, yeah.
So application, we just want that filled out as best of your knowledge. Now, taking a look at, you know, what you guys have for documentation and stuff like that, that I may require you to provide, but this isn't a requirement. Again, we want to stay compliant, but we're going to talk about
proactive effort.
Yes. We're going to be proactive. So what I want to see is, and what you can prepare to give your loan officer, if you have 30 days of pay stubs, we want to see 2 years, the most recent 2 years of your W-2s. So that would be like 2019, 2018. Now, if you did have job changes, there could be a couple W-2s, right? You might have two for have 2 for 1 year. So 2 years W-2s, 2 years tax returns. We want to see the asset statements. So 2 months of your bank statements, checking statements, investment accounts, where your guys' money is and the money we're using. We also want to see
2 years of pay stuff or two months of. Two pay stubs. So.
Yeah, we want to see at least 30 days, the 45 days of pay stubs there. Now, as your details, you know, unfold in our eyes on the application, there could be more stuff, and we're going to talk about some other assets.
So let's just bring this down to the 1, 2, 3. You're going to want to demonstrate your pay, your tax, and the money. So those are easy steps, guys, to remember.
Yes, sir.
Pay, tax, money. So pay statements, right?
Pay stubs.
You've got W-2s and pay stubs. Your tax returns, in most situations, you don't need them, but it is very, very important from my perspective to have those, not only for your personal gathering, guys. Create a little folder on your desktop throughout the year, whether you're buying now or not. Keep those isolated in a secure fashion so they're always accessible and it's not stressful.
Yep.
Your mortgage advisor, and I know Christian does a great job of this, is thinking as many steps ahead from the perspective of the underwriter so that you have less stress in the middle of the purchase, right?
Yeah, that's why we do collect a lot of that documentation up front. Is not so much that I'm going to use every single one of those documentations, that I want to be well-rounded with your file, understand things, or have those conversations with you up front. Just in case the underwriter reaches out to me or my processor reaches out to me on a question, I can fill them in. That way we don't have to go back to you once again on the same thing that we already talked about. I just want to be filled in with the whole file, understand any, you know, skeletons in the closet. Those are the times we should talk about it, because there's guidelines out there to protect you or help you. And I'm just going to let you know what those are.
Yeah, no, well said. And I think, you know, the way I do it to kind of give a half story is...
Story time.
Yeah, bring in the story jingle, producer Josh.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh.
Wow. Oh, yes.
I feel like I just got a flashback.
The damn surprise. Like that. Deja vu. Look at that. We're
getting new beats today.
A swanky bang drop. But really, when it comes down to documentation gathering, guys, it's like, okay, we're going to start the online application. Most of the time, technology serves to be in our favor.
Yes.
Okay, so doing the online application really assists with what Casey was saying of the accuracy.
Yeah.
So you're going to want to do the best to fill out that application with as much accuracy as possible so we know what you're dealing with. And don't be scared that, oh, I had a small gap or whatever. It's best that we know it and can see a huge, well-rounded scope of the file and create a plan to work with that. And I always add in a list. I do the twos. I say, hey, now with online applications, you can actually directly upload all this documentation to your convenience. So I hit them, you know, I always suggest doing the most recent two pay statements for every other week or bi-weekly payroll periods. 2 months of bank statements demonstrating where any dollars for the transaction are being sourced.
Yep.
And for people that might have a 401k or additional savings, nowadays it's more important than ever to have a fuller scope because terms of the loan and insurance premiums are being analyzed more complexly and deeper. For example, mortgage insurance has more layers to the evaluation of the monthly cost. You might have cheaper mortgage insurance if you have additional savings post-close of the transaction.
Well, what is mortgage insurance? It is a risk factor to the bank, right?
It's a risk factor.
So as you layer on these positive factors for yourself, that's going to bring down the risk, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's what our lenders and mortgage insurance companies are looking at.
Well put.
Sorry to interrupt you.
No, it's a great add-in. And I just think it's really important to understand that no one's trying to make the job harder. Trust me. Mm. You know, 2020 has brought forth a year of just making correspondence, client communication, operations, all of this stuff even more challenging than it was prior. But we're doing it in your best interest. And it's always our integrity on the line. And we, as MLO and a team, want to make the terms and anything that you're spending money as cheap as possible.
That's right.
So supporting documentation helps you in the offer process. It helps you with the premium process in a lot of different cases and understanding it. And I know we've kind of kicked Scott in the corner here on chapter one, but anything to add, Scott, from just the basics, like the application process, because you don't really see files until they become in contract and in process.
That's right. If I could add two things, and I think they're really big things, and I see it a lot with my age group, which are millennials. Don't be afraid. I see a lot of people that are fearful of, I'm going to turn in my bank statements, mm-hmm. and people are going to judge me for what I'm purchasing. And they're very nervous about it.
That's
and,
good point.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I just want to tell you, the only thing we're looking at is large deposits. Are there any recurring payments that aren't on your credit report? And again, we're not here to judge you. You know, we're here to be your financial ally, and we're here to help you during the biggest purchase of your life. And that's our career. I take a lot of pride in my job, and I want to help you get that house. I promise you, I'm not going to look at your bank statement outside of, do you have enough cash to close? And, you know,
nor do you have the time to skim through it.
Absolutely.
I don't want to know how many times you went to Taco Bell.
Yeah, we're not looking at that at all.
I've probably gone twice as much as you. So.
Taco Bell is not good for you.
But it's yeah, we're there to review those and not nitpick how you guys spend your money.
Yeah. And the only other thing I would add is I know a lot of people on the application tend to get hung up on being just absolutely precise. Like, this is, you know, I was here for exactly 1 year and 7 months and 23 days and, you know, 12 hours. To the best of your ability, we'll do. We're not really looking at it as, you know, down to the minute. If you did miss something, it's not the end of the world. So don't have that fear that everything has to be absolutely perfect. That's what we're here for. You know, and my guys on the operation staff, we'll clean it up and we'll work with you to make sure that it gets corrected by the time we're ready to close.
That's a great point. And I also encourage a lot of people, if you feel comfortable with it, we've got some great technology that's just been rolled out, at least on our application process, with Account Verify. So it's a great, great, great tool. And what that is you can actually consent to a secure verification of all your asset accounts that qualify automatically. So say like you're checking in your savings, there are technology on our systems now that can do that all on the back end, right, Scott?
Yeah, if you want to save yourself a lot of time using Account Check and using that automated asset system, you're going to go in and put your bank account information in, we're going to pull the report, and you're done.
Does that alleviate from continuing account, like what do you call it? You have bank statement 1, 2, and then you get into contract and we need an activity report
because you can pull it right through.
It's instant access. You don't got to go back to the client.
I'll tell you, one of the most stressful things to do during contract is have to go physically into the bank and get a qualifying statement. I don't want to get too long-winded. Let's talk quickly about qualifying formats of documentation, because this is all over the place, guys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're a part of a private mortgage advisor group on Facebook. And literally, guys, there's thousands of mortgage advisors that just vent on the frustration of people that send in non-qualifying account statements. And it's one example is that you'll get a lot of people that just take like a picture of like the app of their checking account. There's my proof of funds. Guys, underwriters, lenders, investors have particular ways that the documentation has to be formatted for it to qualify, right, Scott?
Yes, yes. And I was actually on the last episode I was on, we talked about tracking the money.
Yeah.
And we did touch on that briefly.
It's so hard because they're like, technology is supposed to help us. And I was like, I understand that, but it's also opened up a huge avenue of fraud liability, right? It's just as easy to fraud it.
I love the creativity because the funniest thing I think I've ever seen is somebody had their cell phone and they were holding it and they had their friend come over their shoulder and take a picture of it. And they said, there's the transaction history and there's how much money I have. And I could see his hand, his phone, and somebody walking their dog in the background.
Oh, that was my file.
Seriously. That was no.
I mean,
so it's just what you really want to look at is PDF.
You know,
it needs to just detail the information. Don't do pictures. Don't do handwritten statements.
And it's going to have that. If you're doing online stuff, guys, get the full monthly statement and consult with your mortgage advisor or your transaction coordinator or your ops manager, whoever's helping you upon the pending process of what exactly you need. Because so many times we're, not measuring and just cutting, and then it just becomes this whole frustrating back and forth. We want to make this process easy. And all of this supports it, going back to the preparedness, mm-hmm. having that conversation mm-hmm. up front, getting all this done, because you're wanting to focus on bigger bones, like your inspection period and what's going on with the house, and is this something you want to get involved in?
Mm-hmm. Let's bring her back and kind of end lane one and mm-hmm. shoot her over to lane two so don't lose everybody going sideways.
No,
but like Addy's saying, the most important part, guys, is if you can have yourself prepared, you can have stuff in PDFs, mm-hmm. you got your 30 days pay stubs, you got your 2 years W-2s, you got your 2 years tax returns, you got your 2 months of statements. That's going to set you guys up for tremendous success right out of the gate. And then we can move on as this progresses, the application. We're going to go into some more details that are a lot more involved than that. If you are what? What's our number two, guys?
That's a great transition. Moving to self-employed. I can't press enough, though, the importance of how much harder people make it for themselves by trying to go the easy route on formatting documentation. It's just... Don't
PDF, don't do picture.
Yep.
Picture makes it hard. But moving to the self-employed, we're going to run with Christian's going to lead the segment here.
This is a good segment, Addy.
Yeah, talking about self-employed with taxes, P&Ls, et cetera, et cetera. So Casey and Christian, why don't you hit us off with some of those details?
Yeah, for our self-employed borrowers, it can be a little intrusive sometimes or feels like it with the document collection process, but it's for our underwriters, for our processors, and for you guys as consumers, for us to collect all the data that we are requesting. It's not like I want to ask for some of these documentation above and beyond what I need. It's because we're actually trying to evaluate your income. And, like Addy said, with the assets, that's helping the strengthen the deal. But self-employed people have a little bit of different
requirements.
And, what do you want to talk about what we require differently from just a W-2 employer?
So if you're self-employed, right, and the biggest difference is going to be if you're what we call a wage earner, you're mm-hmm. getting a pay stub and a W-2.
Yes, sir.
You're being paid by another company, and that pay stub and W-2, that's your documentation. There is nothing else.
Right.
If you're self-employed, you can file your tax returns any number of ways. The most common that I happen to see is on your Schedule C being a sole proprietor. Mm-hmm. What I just said, it's on your tax return. I'm going to need 2 years of your tax returns, and that's how I'm going to evaluate your income. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take all of the information off that tax return, and I'm going to put it into, I use a spreadsheet to take away my add backs, add things back in. And that's how I come up with the figure for what we're using for qualifying income.
So right out of the gate, Scotty, then that self-employed borrower wants to make sure they have 2 years of taxes ready, correct?
Correct. Yeah. Okay. If you're handing me off 2 years of tax returns when I'm evaluating the file, I love that. That makes what I'm going to do so much easier because I'm just going to pull it. I can get that spreadsheet done in 5 minutes and I can tell you what income I can use to qualify.
So I'm also a self-employed person. I own a construction company. So I do get this all the time when I apply for a loan. And, you know, there's some different documentation. So I'm a Schedule C for my construction company. But there's other people out there that might have ownership of 25% or more on a business income. I might just have a W-2 job like myself where I get a W-2 and there's other income. So can you kind of explain a little bit why we would need P&Ls and balance sheets and some of those different documentation we would need to?
Certainly. So when you look at people who, you know, like, let's say we've talked about the easy one, the sole proprietorship on the Schedule C. If you have 25% ownership interest in a company, we're going to need that business's tax returns. Mm-hmm. We're going to actually calculate the income off that tax return and give you 25% of it. You only get 25% of the add backs, 25% of the takeaways. Right. But that's kind of where that 25 number comes in. As far as balance sheets and P&Ls, that's a really good one to bring up. When you file your business tax returns, it can be a while. If you're applying for a house now and you filed your business tax returns 8 months ago, you're not required to file your business tax returns yet this year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 8 months worth of business that we haven't seen. That balance sheet and P&L, that's going to let us basically know how you're doing right now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, that was last year, 8 months. That's almost three quarters of business right there. A lot can happen. We just want to make sure that things look good.
Well, especially that's something we get a lot of pushback on, right, Casey?
Yeah. And I wanted to actually jump in there too, because it's like, I'll have you reiterate that. So I'll play the self-employment side. I've given you the 19. I've given you the 18. I've provided those. And again, why do I have to show you year-to-date P&L? Because we want to show how the business is doing this year, correct? Currently, because we don't see any. We have no vision of that or a record or financial data. So it's really important for self-employed borrowers out there. We do get pushback from that a lot. But, you know, it might be a document that you have to have your CPA generate for you, that year-to-date P&L and balance sheet. Or it could be something, you know, you have to create yourself if you don't have one. And we understand the frustration and the pushback, but it is required because we need to know how that business is doing year to date. You could have had a killer business and maybe something happened. Maybe pandemics and fires and stuff like that affected it. We're not looking for any kind of stuff for reasoning for it to affect, but we just need to know how that business is doing. And that's why it is important just to show your year to date P&Ls.
Well, and going 2020 brings just a huge year of uncertainty and just an infinite amount of different effects too.
Totally. And we're not saying that out there to scare any self-employed borrowers, because stuff just happens, but it's just know that you need to show how your business is doing up to current.
Yeah, and I think to tie that knot on a positive note would be, I always put it in this framework. If you were the one lending $250,000 or $500,000, would you want to do your due diligence to verify that we're in a good situation to lend this money? And it's a ripple effect too from the reform from how mortgages used to be done decades ago. And that's a lot of the pushback we get, where it's like, well, when I did a mortgage last, I didn't need to do all this stuff. Well, you know, in 1971, it was very different, and it's 2020.
And that's a great point too, because just think about that, guys. Like, things have changed. Lending, the biggest lending, isn't going to have not changed for 30 years, guys.
And it's changed for the better. It's changing for the better.
Like, so, you know, buying a car has changed over the last 25 years, you know?
Yeah,
so it's like things change, and that's okay. It's for the positive.
And to kind of throw together, you know, a bookend for the self-employment segment, I wanted to hear a little bit about the different types of business. So, Scott, huge impacts on retail front business versus maybe an essential service such as plumbing, electrical, versus like a boutique clothing store or a tanning salon. Like, could you give me some examples of what might be different for different types of businesses out there that people own?
So, you know, when I kind of look back at a lot of our guideline changes that we have when COVID really hit, one of the reasons we got so stringent about self-employed income was because the ways that you can be affected. Mm-hmm. So if you had your own business, and let's say you had a clothing boutique, with COVID, you're probably not having people come in your store and try things on.
Right.
You know, I actually don't think the state of Oregon allowed you to. I think they said you can't open your clothing rooms. So that probably hurt your business, which is why we want to know, you know, hey, what's going on with that business? How are you doing this year? if you had another type of business, I'm trying to think of one that really stayed open.
Well, to run on that clothing one, because I like that.
Yeah.
Say the owner was very proactive and really shifted from a retail front to more digital, mm-hmm. and you were able to demonstrate that consistency with the P&L we were just talking about, you would potentially have a case to represent to an underwriter that you are still a stable and running business.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to keep the example as positive. Yeah. These
I mean, the balance sheet and P&L guys can show you you're just staying right on track. Business is actually doing better than it was last year. I mean, there's a lot of positive things that show where your business is currently at, mm-hmm. right? So you're absolutely right. This isn't – we're not asking for it so we can – scrutinize a business by any means. We just need to know where it's at year to date.
Well, and their investor requirements.
Yeah, on a positive note too, you know, it's like I have people who ask me about self-employed income, and I have a borrower that I've worked with for a really long time. He's wanted to be a first-time home buyer for, you know, 2 or 3 years.
Story time.
and one of the things that held him back was he Googled how to calculate his own income.
Oh, so he just did his own income calculation and looked at it and was like, nah, man, I don't got a chance.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I finally kind of talked to him. I said, hey, you know, you're getting some figures, and we haven't really talked about things that you haven't really shown me your tax returns. Do you mind if I take a look?
Right.
You know, let me give it my 2 cents. This is what I do for a living. So he sends me his tax returns, and I said, hey, man, I can pre-approve you for a jumbo loan if you want.
Right.
You know, and he goes, well, how can that be? I Googled it on the internet. And it, you know, I Googled how to fix my truck on the internet, and I'll do little things, but I still go to professionals, right?
If
it's something
for
big.
Sure.
Yep. So, you know, ask the question.
That's a great story. I mean,
it's a great story.
You know, the internet's a powerful tool, but it's also, it anchors us to a lot of misperceptions in our industry specifically. So great story. I appreciate, you know, throwing that down and give some perspective, guys. If maybe you haven't been making that jump, maybe you've been afraid because you heard something at the backyard barbecue or you Googled it one way or another.
Uncle Tom.
Reach out and we start that process. And I think this is a great opportunity, guys, to break into how people can get a hold of MLO and have, you know, forward front resource, right, Casey?
Absolutely. I mean, I had someone call in earlier on what, how'd they call me, guys? Well, they called me at 503
VIP
9038.
And just to reiterate that VIP, it's 847.
Yeah, Addison's the only one that knows it, so we let him say it.
We just like the fact that it works on VIP, but 847, since no one sees the letters on the VIP. Number there. Yeah, but guys, take advantage of that. We get reach outs from all over the nation. People asking for our advice, a second look. They're wanting to plan. They might even be shopping their lender. Curious
Absolutely.
If we have a better interest rate on our team. A lot of different infinite reasons, right?
Yeah, I have a lot of questions for self-employed borrowers, new home buyers, you know. Just
call, text.
Yeah, anything.
Text is the most popular, actually. Yeah. People reach out to text or the email. But you can call it. It hits us all. It's directly hits the team on the cell phones and our extended operations as well. So take advantage of that, guys.
Please do.
Use it as a resource. Share, if you're an agent out there, if you're a family member, share this video, this podcast, so that other people can maybe you know, take advantage of learning.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a great learning tool out there. If you have clients, you know, and your agents watching this, and there's, you know, stuff that we've been going over that's of value, I mean, it's as easy as texting our podcasts over to them. It's pretty freaking sweet. So jump on the train.
Last night I was on the phone with a client, and he was, I got a little bit anxious to get a lot of the questions answered, right? Yeah. And so we were reviewing and talking about him, and he asked me question A, B, C, D, through. And he's like, man, you're really good at answering those questions. I was like, whoa, that was pretty much the last 8 episodes of our podcast. He's like, oh, you guys have a podcast? I was like, oh, yeah, MLO. And he pulled up on, oh, there you are. And he's looking at all the episodes. He's like, this is like exactly what I need as a first time home buyer. I was like, that's exactly why.
It's a nice little toolbox.
We've made it. So,
My cousin wanted to know about home loans and kind of, you know, what we do and how we operate stuff. And I said, start at episode 1 and go all the way up to 35 or 7. Where are we at? 7? 37?
This is 36.
Oh, wow. 36. Nice.
Yep. 36. And then your cousin asked for $20, right?
Yeah. No, he told me he made it through like, he's on like on 4 or 5. He's crushing it.
Casey, can I get approved for a loan? Probably not. Well, can I borrow $20?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
family, you know. But tying back, I think like Scott said, if you're self-employed, don't be afraid. You know, don't think that, you know, maybe you don't qualify or maybe, you know, you've looked at your stuff. Like, let the professionals take a look and let us help and advise you. Don't try to, like, look at your stuff and qualify yourself on your own.
Well, I think a lot of people have creative CPAs and tax advisors, and they don't know where some of the things have been allocated. And we got Scott here that can add a lot of those things back in, depreciation, amortization. There's a lot of different things. And we'll talk about some of these unique situations we run into. But letter of explanation is huge. So if there is a gap in employment or there's something that's funky about your income and you need to explain it, just type out on a Word document, explain the situation, fill in the gaps for us, because we don't know what you do day in, day out. But if you just tell us and write it up real quick, that just gets passed along to the underwriters so they can see how the file is being performed on.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Where I see that the most is bank statements.
Yeah.
If you're going to provide a bank statement, and let's say you just sold a car and you got $8,000, we talked about this one too last time I was on, but you just sold a car and you have a large deposit for $8,000 and it just says check number 56 deposited at bank number 211.
We need to know something about that, right?
I got to know what that is. And if you literally just send an email after you apply, it's like, oh, hey, you're going to see that $6,000. It was a totally legit sale. I have a bill of sale. Here's the Kelly Blue Book. Well, you don't even have to do that, but I'll do that part for you. I just got to know what it
is. Yeah, it's as easy as that. Just explain the situation. We're not trying to dig deep and really see if it has four-wheel drive and kind of chromies are on the wheels.
Is that a limited edition?
Yeah. No. We just need to explain the story. So it's as simple as that.
And for underwriters, guys, it is amazing how much it helps them just underwrite your file that much easier when we have it all explained through letters of explanation. And then I have a, you know, written out underwriter cover letter that's basically just regurgitating your whole story and everything you've given me. That helps them so much. You don't understand. So just explaining everything, it's the best way to go.
It helps you as the applicant as well, because you're preventing back and forth.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
So you will, right now, the industry is as busy as it's ever been in the history of real estate.
I mean, historic volume levels, guys.
It's all, the supply is limited and the demand is out of control.
Well, everybody's, you know, teaching their own kids at home right now. It's frustrating. Everybody's so busy, hyper-focused on whatever they're doing right now. For me to give you a call or text you in the middle of the day for something that I could have got up front, or if we just communicated these things up front, it just saves you time and frustration, and for myself as well, and for Scott.
Yeah, definitely for me.
Yeah, guys, we got a great pace going here today. I'm enjoying it.
Good.
We got it rolling. So to conclude to our third segment, right?
Yeah, unique. I mean, you just want to make sure your stuff's explained. If there's anything, you know, I mean, we see it all, guys. There's everybody's financial situation profile is different. I mean, we might have, we might have life insurance policies that we're getting because something, you know, unfortunately happened, or we got inheritances, or there's just, everybody's different. So explaining everything to your loan officer, trying to give them the full clear picture, is going to help you succeed.
Would you say that's a unique scenario?
No, that's not unique. But what's unique about people is telling the truth.
I would say thrown in unique, and I wanted Scott to kind of touch on this a little bit, are a couple of very common factors. Bankruptcies and divorces are two things that, not a showcase of the resume, but it's reality. It happens, and absolutely, it happens more often than people think. So, A, don't be discouraged or embarrassed. Like, that's a very common situation. Bankruptcies do happen, and there's particular paperwork that we want to be proactive on gathering, because it's almost impossible to get in a pinch sometimes. Right, Scott?
Yes, and let's use this opportunity right here and right now to say, if you get a copy of your discharge paperwork for your bankruptcy, please keep it. Yeah. File it somewhere you're going to remember.
Definitely
it.
Keep it.
Because I can't tell you how many people say, oh, I don't have a copy.
They're hard to get. They're really hard to get, usually through the courthouse or the county.
Oh, yeah. And it's something that I think I really understand fundamentally, because it was a very, for a lot of people, bankruptcy, foreclosures, that's a very traumatic event. You want that behind you. You know, that's over. You have your discharge paperwork. You're never going to look at that again. That is something that we are going to need, you know, when we're working with a file, or if you had a bankruptcy or foreclosure, we need a copy of that discharge paperwork. That's the most important thing.
Scott, I don't know if it's a coincidence, but at least over the years, any one of my clients who has been through a bankruptcy, does not live in the same county anymore. They, a lot of them have moved, and there's a story behind it, right?
Oh,
like
yeah.
They want the heck out of that life. Something happened to them that was mm-hmm. uncontrollable. And the reason why I bring that up is, say it's in Los Angeles, California, and you're in Seattle, Washington. If you don't have those papers, now you're trying to communicate and obtain documentation that's sitting in, down in Los Angeles. So it can be really, really challenging.
Really challenging. Yeah. And sometimes those things happen so long ago or we need to verify for some reason. Maybe they're not in the system and they're not able to be, we're not able to get them electronically. I've actually had to go down to the Multnomah County Courthouse and show up with a paper that says I can collect these documents on behalf of a borrower because they just didn't have them. There was no way to get them.
Wow.
And that's a tough one, but you know, we can get it done. I guess the end point on that is if you have a BK, don't be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep copies of your paperwork and we can take it from there.
Yeah. Well, and different loan programs have different wait periods.
Absolutely.
And subject to different underwriting guidelines. So just know like, you know, compliantly, we always have to say those little fine print things, but every loan program is going to be different and we can't universally speak to them all. So we're just trying to, you know, educate everybody to make the process easier. But lastly, going in, if there was a divorce and there's other very similar items, not as a BK, but there's similar documentation process together, right, Scott?
Yeah, we if we do need a copy of your divorce decree, I want to promise you it's just as uncomfortable for me to ask you for it as it probably is for you to get it. We really try to avoid asking you for it if at all possible because I know how personal that is.
Mm-hmm.
I would say in my career of the things I've ever had people really push back about, it's a divorce decree.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, it's a very sensitive topic. I promise you the only thing that we're looking at when we look at your divorce decree is do you have any alimony or child support? Is everything separated?
Mm-hmm.
Who got the property and what? Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah. Awesome, guys. I think to kind of throw together a conclusion of everything is let's hit it with a high note. Maybe producer Josh can give us a little jangle to kind of cruise out
hit
here
with
on
that jam, Josh.
Guys. Oh, man. We're going to start calling producer Josh, DJ Josh, because he's throwing down the beats like there's no tomorrow. I really, really like that. I like that. So to recap, guys, on a positive note, technology has created a very efficient way for people to
and
secure way to go through the application process. So take advantage of all those things. Be as honest and straightforward as possible. Know the twos, right, Casey?
Know your twos. You're going to get your most two recent pay stubs, your most two recent W-2s, your most two recent statements for the accounts that we're using, your most two recent tax returns, your most two recent yada, yada, yada.
Well, and Christian, we were talking about this. Even if you're not buying now, create that little folder on your desktop. Secure and stay organized. Yeah. You file your taxes, make a copy. Save
Wait,
it
what
in
was that
folder.
Word? Organized.
Organized. But having that folder helps you on a lot of benefits, not just a mortgage, but when you're applying for an auto loan online or if you need other sort of financing and you have that
Fantastic
stuff
idea.
Isolated, it's just way, way, way more
Yes, sir, fun. Addy.
Yeah, be organized, be ready, be prepared. You know, that should be your motto, especially if you're thinking about doing a home purchase here in the next year, refinancing. Send them on over. We'll get you an honest opinion, what you need to be at. And,
damn, yeah. And don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Especially
at the end of the day, we want everybody to know that we're being transparent here. You be transparent, and we'll give you an honest answer.
And to put it all together, guys, please check out other episodes. The one that, what number was?
That was episode number 12, 1-2.
The 1-2 app, pre-qualification versus pre-approval process. And
I don't know the gold chain episode, but that's a good one.
Follow
the money.
Follow the money.
Titles on different sets, but that's a really good one, guys. Yeah. And just to let everyone know, we're getting close to concluding season one of MLO.
Bum, 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 bum.
So we're going to go through to episode 40. So there's going to be three or four more of these until we start season two. Some big stuff going on.
We got some big stuff. Big announcements.
Really looking forward to
Maybe we'll be on Netflix for season two.
Oh.
Woo!
We'll see. We'll see. You're getting Josh way too excited.
You heard it here first. Stuff.
Special shout out to Joshua Billis, once again, our production manager. He just does an amazing job putting this together. And Kanoa Jan, man, coming in on the back end. You don't see him, but he's impactful. He's doing a lot of stuff. We're excited to have him a part of the team. Lastly, Scotty.
Scott.
Boom. making time, getting it done. We appreciate your expertise, your professionalism.
I love coming on with you guys.
CK, love you, buddy.
Thank you.
Keep doing what you're doing. CK is expecting a baby soon.
Countdown. Any 7 days.
Any day. Any day.
4, 3.
And of course, Casey, your veteran mortgage advisor, right?
Yes, sir. Thanks, guys. And I appreciate you guys having me on the show.
And in conclusion, once again, you have been listening to guys.
MLO.
Thanks so much for tuning in. And until next time, peace. We'll catch you later.
Later.